It's business time, baby.
The Solid Monster sounds off.
My client, Brock Lesnar, conquered the streak.
This doesn't make any sense.
Your title belt is made of leather. You're not a real vegan.
He's fat. You haven't been beat up properly. Woo!
We are back here in Orlando. We are still here in Orlando. I am the Solid Monster. I'm joined by Noah Mark.
I don't think we left.
We never left. We may never leave at this rate. I don't want to leave. You hear what's going on the East Coast?
Yeah, I know. I know our buddy Chuck from Philly. He's got like 30 inches still on the ground. It's total anarchy there. I know that Brian Blade, who's not here, he left. He's made it back to New York, or is making it back right now as we speak. But yeah, no, it was Snowmageddon. They actually have a name for this storm, but I haven't seen it used all too much. Did you know that?
No, I mean, I've been out of the loop, so I have no idea what's been going on.
Jonas. The name of the storm is Jonas.
As if people didn't hate that name enough.
Right, like the Jonas Brothers?
The Jonas Brothers.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, well, I think in New York, we fell just 1/10 of an inch shy of an all-time record, so it's pretty bad up there. I knew 4 months ago when I booked this trip. I booked this trip because I knew this was going to happen. You know that, right?
Right. You're
I had a premonition.
Nostra Sola Monstrous.
I'm Solodamus.
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 I smell a new t-shirt.
Do you?
Solodamus.
It's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah. Let's go over your predictions. Maybe not.
Maybe not, actually, now that you remind me of that. We are going to talk about the Royal Rumble. This is the wrap-up edition for the 2016 Royal Rumble. We were at the Amway Center for the show last night. I'm sure many of you saw us. I had so many people saying I wasn't even paying attention to who was being eliminated during the Rumble. All I was doing was watching Noah Mark, and I'm watching Brian Blade and Solid Monster. We had incredible seats, and I have to thank you, Noah, for your working your magic. And we were dead center. We had as good a view as you could ask for of the action all night long. The place was packed. There were a lot of international fans. I mean, just in our group alone, a lot of European fans, something you normally see for a WrestleMania.
Yeah, the last few years of the Royal Rumble, the road to WrestleMania really kicking off, and now, you know, fallout from the 70, 80, or as WWE will probably say, 100,000 people that go to WrestleMania, yeah. Really, there's even interest and buzz starting at the Royal Rumble. We are in WrestleMania season. No matter how soft the product gets, I still think, you know, there's still some juice there, and people are enjoying, you know, we were even saying this off the air, you know, maybe our impression of this event might be a little bit skewed with wonderful seats and a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you go to the event, generally, you have a lot more fun than you would just sitting at home and watching. And that may not apply to Raw, which is why we're not going to Raw tonight.
We are actually not going to Raw in a concerted effort like, nah, it's just Raw. You know, and that's not how I used to roll, man.
I mean, either, but it's just one of those things where, you know, we sat through 3 hours of the Rumble. We came here for the Rumble. We had fun at NXT.
Right.
We got our fill.
Yeah.
And I just...
No need to drive to Miami.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I think if it was at the same building, they were running the same building back-to-back nights.
We would go. Sure.
We would have gone.
Yeah.
But to go to Miami, it's Raw. Now, watch, of course, something major I'm sure will happen tonight, but... I think most people think, oh, you're going to Raw too, but we're actually not.
I used to have FOMO. You know what that is?
FOMO?
FOMO, F-O-M-O.
I do not know what that
Fear
is.
Fear of missing out. Literally of like, oh my God, like what am I going to do? If I don't go to Raw, I might miss the biggest thing ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay now. I'll just watch it on TV.
You and everybody else. You're not the only one who feels that way. But... the Instapoll that I threw up on Twitter when the show was over is actually good news for WWE. We had over 4,000 votes, so thank you for that if you voted. 75% thumbs up, 25% thumbs down. It's a pretty good ratio, I would say. And those people didn't have, you know, front row seats or anything like that. They watched from home objectively, and most people seem to enjoy the show. And I think both of us would agree it was a good show overall.
I mean, yeah, we'll run down the matches.
Yeah, we're going to go through the card. We're going to go, you know, match by match. But I think here's my take on it, just the kind of the down and dirty before we get into the specifics of it. A lot of people saw my reaction. They tweeted photos and videos of my reaction and mocking me for, you know, Triple H winning the Royal Rumble. Oh, you turned your back. They said I turned my back. Of course, not realizing I turned my back because I was looking where the exit was so we can get the hell out of there.
Oh, stop it.
But, you know, let's not let facts get in the way of a good story. I was not thrilled with the outcome of the Royal Rumble match. I've had a few hours now to sleep it off. And my take on it is this. First of all, and I said this on Twitter, just because I disagree or I was unhappy with the finish of the Rumble does not mean that I did not like the Rumble.
Right.
I actually thought it was the best Rumble in years. I don't just mean the Rumble match. Right. I mean overall the pay-per-view. I would even say, and some people may disagree, that this was probably the best Rumble since 2007 or 2008. Because to me, the ones after that, they all just kind of run together. Even the 40-man one, it wasn't anything overly special. So I say best Rumble in years, and that is coming from somebody who was not thrilled with the finish. Now, what were your impressions of the Rumble overall and Triple H walking out as champion?
I mean, I have a different set of parameters now. And being there live has a lot to do with it. I can't go back and tell you how I felt it was, at home. But I enjoyed it immensely live. And last man standing match, we'll get into all of them. But I thought that there was some good wrestling. There was some good, entertaining spots.
That's the key, though. When I look at this card from top to bottom, I don't see a bad match.
Right.
If I had to pick one that was a little wonky, I'd say maybe the U.S. title match. There were a few flubs in that match. That
wasn't... if it was ready for Del Rio to rip Kalisto's head off when he missed one of the moves.
Yeah, and Kalisto, there were a few, shady spots there. But aside from that, I can't look at this card and say, oh, this was a bad match. Actually, if I had to say... one match on the entire show was a bad match. It was the pre-show match, and nobody really cared about that. Nobody was paying any attention to
Sandow it. Sandow was over
like
Rover.
They certainly didn't treat... Well, Sandow was, but, that's probably why they didn't treat it as anything special. And look what happened with the winners of the match. What was the point of that? We may as well start with that. Let's just talk about it. The show opened up with a fatal four-way. It was the Descension, the Dudley Boys.
I just caught that.
Mark Henry and Jack Swagger, and Damian Sandow and Darren Young. I was kind of hoping that, we'd get a little bit of a surprise and maybe Sandow and Young would go over. Sandow comes out for the Rumble, gets a nice little reaction, and then, of course, gets unceremoniously dumped. Couldn't even do that. And the Dudley Boys, who I didn't think were going to win just because I thought it was too obvious. Talk about a fall from grace. Look at what they've done since they've come back. I mean, they're just in this purgatory right now where they just lose and lose and lose and... I think part of it is I understand the mentality of it. You bring these guys in, they have name value, you want to put the newer guys over. I get that. But Jericho, there was a problem like this with Jericho for a while where you can only lose so much before it's the law of diminishing returns. You lose so much that after a while, okay, I beat Chris Jericho, who cares?
Right.
I beat the Dudley Boys, who cares?
Right.
I think they're running into that with the Dudleys. And maybe it's because these rumors of them splitting up and Bubba's going to get a singles push as a heel, which I would be okay with. We'll see. But...
Is Devon going to be a reverend again?
I think Devon, if that were to happen, I think Devon would go bye-bye. I don't think there's a role for him if they split the Dudley Boys up. So, sucks for him. But we'll see what happens there. But anyway, the four-way was Mark Henry and Jack Swagger, who, if you recall, entered the Rumble, and I don't know that in totality they lasted more than 60 seconds.
Well, I picked it for the sole reason that Vince loves big guys in the Rumble. And, of course, if you can throw out a Mark Henry, you've got to be a big, strong man.
Well, here's the problem, though. Mark Henry, who I was in favor and still am of... winning the Andre Battle Royal at WrestleMania. Now, to do that, there's a story you have to tell in advance of, hey, this guy's hanging up the tights, this is going to be it for him, and build up some sympathy. He comes out, I don't even know that he lasted 30 seconds. So yeah, he's 400 pounds, he's big, the world's strongest man, what does it matter? Was anybody impressed that Mark Henry got dumped over the top rope?
I was.
Well... If I sneeze a certain way, you're impressed.
That's true.
It doesn't take much to
impress. All right.
Can't go by you. You're weird.
Thank you.
I say that in a positive,
loving,
friendly,
way.
Loving way. Of
That's
course.
Right.
Of course.
No, but the idea is, well, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is this all about? What is wrestling all about? What is television all about? What is all this all about? It's all about clipping it. Clipping it for YouTube. Clipping it for Twitter, right? So when you take...
Or gifing it.
Or gifing it. So Braun Strowman threw out Mark Henry, right?
I believe so. I know he threw out Kane and Big Show.
Right. So
he might have thrown out Mark Henry.
I think he threw out Mark Henry too, right? Or was it Brock? I'm losing my mind.
I think it was Strowman.
Strowman. So those clips, when you clip that all together, he's unstoppable.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
But I'm serious. That's the idea. Listen, I understand that's the idea.
But they need to do a better job than of making these monsters more intimidating. So that when they do get eliminated or beaten down or have their legs cut out from underneath them, it's whether you are supposed to have sympathy for them or be impressed. I'm not impressed. I think with Mark Henry, Big Show, and Kane, we've reached a point years ago where it's not impressive anymore. It really doesn't mean much. Oh, you beat the Big Show. Who cares? Who cares? You beat Kane. So what? What does it matter?
He's the Big Red Machine.
He was the Big Red Machine.
Now what is he?
Now he's the Big Red Real Estate Agent. Glenn from Nashville.
Is he still a...
I think he...
What party? What affiliation was he? Libertarian?
Libertarian Kane. Yeah. I still think there's potential there. We kind of got a glimpse of Libertarian Kane with Corporate Kane, but that was boring. I mean, they could have done so much more with that. But anyway. Actually, if you go on YouTube, there's an hour-long video of him teaching economics. I forgot what kind of economics.
Voodoo economics?
Maybe, but... It's literally him in a classroom teaching people about some form of economics. I forgot what. And he's just Glenn with the ponytail in the back. And then at the very end of the video, he actually looks in the back of the room and tells whoever's running the camera, turn that off. Like an hour in. We never heard from that guy again. I don't know what happened there. He's a very smart man. I wish the creative team were as smart. But anyway, so that was the pre-show four-way. We forgot to mention Sign Guy. Was in the audience, and Sign Guy was actually seated in the section directly in front of us, probably, what, second row?
He was like, second or third row, opposite the hard camera.
Exactly, directly opposite the hard camera, and we noticed, this was during the pre-show.
That's right.
They asked him to move. They moved him to the opposite side. So, not a bad deal. They moved him to a front row seat.
Right.
But, so that you couldn't see him on camera. But he was not happy about it. There were people actually tweeting me going they could see him being escorted as the pre-show panel was talking, and you could see him walk by and he was all sad. I called his name out. I said, "Hey, Sign Guy," and he turned around. He had a giant puss on his face.
Yeah, Rick was a little upset. He knows, but he knows everybody over there. So, I mean, look, they said, look, we can't have you opposite.
Hey, look, I'm happy. He was directly in front of us. That fucker was holding up signs in front of our faces.
And he would have done that all night.
Fuck him. Fuck that guy.
All right, stop. Rick's a good guy. We like you, Rick.
Anyway. So the Royal Rumble opened, the actual pay-per-view opened with a Last Man Standing match, Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens.
The pay-per-view opened with you.
Pay-per-view opened with all of us.
That's right.
They did that little swooping scan of the fans. You see me, you, Brian, and his...
poo emoji.
Mr. Hanky poo pillow, whatever the hell that thing was.
If you look after the pyro, watch the cameras.
And Webmaster Mike,
sweep
too,
in and
right
you
next
see,
to Brian.
Yeah, you see all of us.
All the horsemen. The horsemen were all there in full force with my horse women shirt.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
So we had Ambrose and Owens for the Intercontinental title. I do have to mention this. Now, it turned out to be a really good match. But midway through the match, we already had chance of, this is awesome.
Oh, you hate that.
In the tag team match, which was good, we had chance 8 minutes in. This is awesome. So I was trying to get a chance. Me and Hogan were trying to get a chance started of this is adequate. And it caught on a little bit, but not too much. I mean, enough with the this is awesome stuff. I mean, there's a time and a place for it, but it was very obvious. Like, I think every match, like the moment you do a dive, which is a whole other rant, as far as all these dives, a poor joke, I admit, but I posted, I know you probably didn't even notice, but I posted something on Twitter. I said, a WWE guy retires. He opens a bar. What kind of bar does he open?
The dive.
A dive bar. Enough with the fucking dives. Every match, Dean Ambrose does a dive. The Usos do a dive. Luke Harper does a dive. Kalisto does a dive. You and I should have done a dive.
That would have
been close enough.
We could have.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought this was a really good match. I had forgotten that they had stacked up those tables.
That is a thing that they do where they'll set up furniture, you know, and you think it's going to be used then, and then it ends up playing into the finish. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. And then they did enough stuff where it kind of took our mind off of it. Plus, it was hard for us to see.
Right.
From where we were sitting.
Right.
But when he pushed Owens off the top rope and Owens took a, a dive through those tables. That was very cool.
Oh, and that's a dive you're acceptable.
That's an acceptable dive.
Okay.
As long as they don't start doing them every week.
Do we need to do a raw dive count now? Maybe
I'm done keeping track of. If I did a raw dive count, if I took a shot of something every time they did a dive on a WWE show,
be a drunk man.
I'd be a dead man. You'd be eulogizing me.
I don't want to do that. Can somebody count? Can somebody for us? Because we're too lazy. Can somebody count the dives for tonight's Raw, please, and tell us how many dives there are?
Yeah, that would be helpful. I think we're going to outdo ourselves for the distraction roll-up counter in 2015.
How many dives do you think will be on tonight's Raw?
On tonight's Raw?
Yeah, give me a dive count and we'll have...
Well, if the Usos do a stereo dive, does that count as one or two? Two, right?
Well, if there's two people.
Okay, so that's two.
One
right
dive
there.
Per person.
I would say we're going to give five.
Five?
I'd say five.
Okay, five dives.
Five dives.
All right.
Now the dives...
Is Ambrose competing?
Now we're talking... This could be any kind of dive, not just like the tope through the ropes. This could be over the top rope.
Okay.
Neville doing some kind of weird corkscrew bullshit
in
over
the
top
ring,
rope.
But
from the inside of the ring to the floor.
Okay, so anyone diving out of the ring onto an opponent is a dive?
Yes.
Okay. And if they miss, it's a still a count?
I don't give a shit if they
miss. Okay, all right.
A dive is a dive.
Dive is a dive.
You crash and burn, that's not my problem. What do I care?
All right, so we'll get a dive count.
You're the idiot.
Not me, you mean the...
I'm really salty about that.
I could... we can tell.
We didn't even talk about when Mark Henry came out the first time. They caught me and Hogan on camera. We were rapping to Mark Henry's theme song.
Well, I told you that every move you make, every breath you take...
They'll be watching.
The listeners will be watching you.
It's very creepy.
Well, I mean, listen.
People taking pictures of me from the upper deck saying, I see you.
Oh.
I'm looking around like, wait, should I be concerned?
And by the way, I told you, I was promoting these seats to you all weekend saying, listen, these are going to be the greatest seats you're ever going to sit in. And I'm not, this was not an overhyped statement. Would you agree?
This was not TNA hyping a major announcement.
Right.
Where every single time they've ever done
that... We're
going
to go on a media tour.
Oh, yeah.
This is guess what, everybody? We're going to go on a media tour.
Yes. This is not TNA where they hype up something and then they disappoint you in the end. I gave you credit. You were right. You absolutely right. I lived up to the hype. But yeah, we were rapping to Mark Henry's theme, and that's secretly one of the reasons why I kind of want Mark Henry to win at WrestleMania, so that when we go, we can all rap to Mark Henry's theme song.
Okay.
One of the best theme songs still in the entire company.
You refused to Lucha, though.
I people called me out on that. People called me out on leaving during the New Day
match. Oh, I told you. You're like, I have to get a press. I'm like, wait.
I'm like, they're not even going
to
see.
I said to you, you get up. If that seat is empty without you for anything, you will get crap from everybody. I said, you should go to a promo or send for someone to get you something. Do not leave.
It was the most logical time to step away because I didn't want to leave during the last man standing match. I wanted to see the Divas match.
According to you, the pre-show would have been the best time to step away.
Well, it would have been. Then I would have missed the open.
That's true.
You know. It was the New Day against the Usos for the Tag Team Championship. Xavier has a new trombone. Was it
Francesca too?
Francesca. A very creative name, by the way.
There's so much.
I thought it'd be
fun.
Francesco. Or Francisco.
No.
Why even have a name like that?
I don't know.
It's not
Jake,
like,
Jake had Damien and Lucifer. He didn't have Damien too.
I'm just saying, I don't know, with New Day, you got three black guys out there. Why Francesca, right?
I don't know.
Right?
You want to call it Tyrone the Trombone?
Okay, well, that's racist.
Well, no, it's...
That's racist.
Okay.
Racist, no.
I'm not racist. go to Hulk Hogan for that. That's not me.
You know, usually the people that go, I'm not racist, that those are the racists. So you're going to tell me you have black friends, too.
Oh, will you stop? Of course I do.
I know you do.
I'm going to call him right now.
Let's get him on the air.
Stop.
Let's ask him if you're a racist.
Please.
I can't hang out with you anymore.
Oh, please stop.
I can't. The taint from hanging out with you, it's going to stain me.
Listen, brother.
All right. Well, we had the...
By the way, I'm racist. You walked out of the New Day match.
We had two Samoans there, too. So
well, there you
go. It wasn't just three black
guys.
Those
are the back of the bus boys. You could ask Chris Jericho.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. That was stupid, what happened there. You remember...
Did you mention that?
I didn't talk about that. It was so stupid. There was nothing to talk about. But Jericho had actually posted a photo of them on the back of a tour bus.
Right. Back of the bus boys is a derogatory term that people used way back when, saying the low class. Or,
yeah, well, that was a racist thing back in the day. But right. In wrestling, it has a completely different connotation, like the term they use,
right,
is not in any way offensive.
No, no, Jericho and the Usos would go in literally to the back of the international tour bus and actually drink,
right,
and party while the people in the front would, right, sleep. And that was that. What
and
that
everybody
meant.
Everybody got all set off about it because, right, you know,
because the internet,
right? Well, everyone's got sand in their vagina. So, did I say that? We have New Day.
Salty Salamancer, and you didn't even have a drink that you wanted.
I did. I wanted a drink here. We should have gotten something before came up here. But New Day and the Usos, this was a good match. And I thought a really creative finish there where the Uso came off the top rope and Big E catches him. And I don't even like Big E's finishing move just because.
It was great.
I don't know what it does. But it looked cool.
Awesome.
So a great finish. The right team won.
We saw the tag. I don't know if some people might have missed the tag. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they positioned it on the broadcast.
Yeah, we noticed that there was a blind tag that was made.
Right.
It was from Kofi to Big E, I believe.
That's right. Oh, Big E did the tap on the shoulder.
Tap on the shoulder.
While he
very
was
subtle
in the corner, and we saw it. I don't know if the announcers even acknowledged it, but we're watching the referee. He's waving his hands like, this is not the legal man. All of a sudden, the big jump, the big catch, it was great. And yeah. I'm happy they won.
I'm happy they won, too. And I got the pre-show match wrong, but in terms of the opening matches on the pay-per-view, I was up 2-0 in my predictions. And that's as good as it got for me. Unfortunately, not a great night for my predictions. We had the United States Championship on the line, Alberto Del Rio and Kalisto. This one surprised me, because I was not expecting them to switch the belt back to Kalisto. I'm happy they did. I like the outcome. I didn't see it coming. I thought for sure that once Del Rio got it back, he was going to have it back, and probably maybe even through WrestleMania. But Kalisto did win the championship clean. Salida del Sol, I think, off the top rope. No interference from the League of Losers or anything like that. I thought it was a good match. You know, I got to say, I've been disappointed more often than not when I see these two in the ring. I heard the match they had on SmackDown a couple weeks back when Del Rio won the belt back was actually much better than their Raw match. I didn't see that match because I don't watch SmackDown most of the time. So I can't vouch for that, but I expected more out of this. This was a little disappointing to me, and there were a few botches here and there. But, you know,
yeah,
the right man won.
I was ready for Alberto to go off on.
And you know what? Who's to say? We're sitting here now on a Monday morning.
Right.
Tonight on Raw, who's to say Del Rio doesn't win the freaking thing back?
I mean,
I don't think he will, but Del Rio is not necessarily out of the U.S. title picture yet. If it were up to me, he would move on to something else. And I still like my idea of getting Neville going. And maybe heading into WrestleMania, having some kind of match you build up between Kalisto and Neville.
Well, we had John Cena with the Open U.S. Challenge, and that was those were fun, exciting matches last year. So why can't Kalisto be that fun, exciting? He's got to step up his game, but maybe if we have some fun, exciting matches for the U.S. Championship every week,
well, that's the whole thing. I think
back.
I almost have the WCW Monday Nitro mentality that they have with the Cruiserweight title is what I'm kind of going for here. The Cruiserweight title, you can build up stories. It's not just throwing matches out there with no backstory.
Right.
But one of the things that made Nitro so fun back in the day was you had these super athletic guys that were going out there. They were showing everybody up. You'd give them 10, 15 minutes. They'd have these incredible matches. They're great athletes. Kalisto and Neville are two of the most athletic, gifted guys they have on that roster right now. Two of the smallest, granted. But I kind of have that Nitro mentality where you want to just put a match out there that's just balls-to-the-wall energy. It's just fun. The crowd is going to be into it. You know they will. They're two likable guys. They're two baby faces. You can build something up between the two of them. And if you want to give it a story, look, Sin Cara's not coming back for another few weeks at least, maybe another month. Maybe you pair up Kalisto and Neville for a few matches here and there on TV. When Sin Cara comes back, you have some kind of backstage segment where Neville goes, all right, you know, it was fun, man. It was fun teaming with you for a while. I know your partner's back, but, you know, how about giving me a shot? You know, you got that U.S. title. I think it could be fun, you and I. Almost like a friendly competition kind of thing. It could be something as simple as that. You don't have to have one guy turn. You don't have to come up with some wacky storyline. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
I think Neville deserves better than what he's doing right now. He should be wrestling for a championship.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be the WWE championship.
Well, clearly not.
Clearly not.
No, I like it. And I said, you kind of got me off Kalisto for the prediction. Because I thought, I didn't
really... Oh, you're blaming me.
Well, a little bit, because I was going to pick Kalisto, and then you guys kind of swerved me. Or
peer pressure?
Well, you changed my mind because of Sin Cara coming back.
Because I was making
so
too much sense.
Well, Sin Cara is coming back, according to you, not as long. I'm used to everyone being out 9-10 months now. Yeah. So I thought originally that I thought he was going to win it back and then hold on to it. Maybe, I guess Alberto will have his rematch, but hopefully we won't see this WWE Steven will come back.
That's the key. That'll be the key to watch for, because if Del Rio wins it back, it's just more of this 50-50 nonsense.
Right.
Kalisto beats him a second time, or it will be third, I guess.
Right.
Build some momentum, get something going. You might have a new star,
right?
Which they desperately need right now. The Divas Championship, Charlotte and Becky Lynch. I love the video package. I thought it was long. It reminded me in some ways of the buildup to Sasha and Bayley in Brooklyn. There was a great story. That Divas storyline between the two of them has been one of the shining beacons on Raw now for weeks and weeks. It's a basic story. Charlotte is so much better in the heel role than she was as the babyface. And Becky is just so easy to root for. Becky Lynch has shined on TV the last couple weeks. Her promos, we know she can go in the ring, her matches. So I was looking forward to this match. I thought they had a good match. I didn't clock it, so I don't know how long it went. But they gave them some time. I thought the finish was very underwhelming. Flair throws his jacket. It lands on Becky's head. That was kind of funny. But then that provided enough of a distraction for Charlotte to do the old Ric Flair thumb to the eye.
Right.
And then she ended up... did she roll her up? I think she rolled her up for the pin. There wasn't a tap out. I think she pinned her.
Yeah, there was no tap out.
There was no tap out. So the finish was very underwhelming. And then we heard Sasha Banks, her theme song.
That's right.
Out comes Sasha. No team bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that means the team bad thing is over and done with, or probably not over and done with, but she's clearly moving on.
And that might be
as
the
best she should.
Reaction that I've heard on a diva in a while.
In a long time.
Not, you know, sans NXT per se, but...
In a long time. And, you know, she comes out, she does the little tease, she goes after Becky. It's like, oh, no. And she's doing the little handshake or whatever with Charlotte. Then she goes and she attacks Charlotte.
Right.
Place goes nuts.
Sure.
She puts her in the bank statement. And one of the cool things, you made a comment about this. When they would wrestle in NXT, Charlotte is so... Her legs are so long. She's such a tall girl, and she's flexible. She used to be a gymnast.
Right.
So when Sasha cranks back on that bank statement,
oh my God,
she could bend her in half. I haven't seen flexibility like that since Melina back in the day.
Doing those splits.
Well, not just the splits, but like Natty would put her in a sharpshooter.
Right.
And she would go all the way back.
Yeah.
Like, how is she not breaking this
girl
in half?
It looks like
her
head was like...
It looks great.
Separated from her body. It was crazy.
It looks great. And it's just... The women... And this goes for Becky and her armbar, her disarmer as well. The women, and this has been going on for a while, their submission holds in NXT and now on the main roster look far more brutal than most of the men, especially Cena and the STF.
Yeah, you hate that.
We've talked about that. At least he's smart enough to not be doing the springboard stunner anymore.
Well, he ain't doing anything anymore.
He's not doing anything anymore. What DDP used to say, and that's not a bad thing.
that's
a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Maybe not for their business. We have the... before we move on to the Rumble match, she attacks Charlotte, and what they're doing is what I had hoped they would do. It was one of my predictions, even, I think. They're moving ahead with Charlotte and Sasha, hopefully for WrestleMania.
I was going to say, I mean, are we going to see a one-on-one women's Championship match?
I hope so, but here's what I'm thinking. You still have a long time between now and Mania.
Right.
Right? You've got 3 hours of TV every week.
Mm-hmm.
You've got another pay-per-view coming up. What I can see them doing, because it would be unfair to Becky Lynch. I felt bad for Becky Lynch when this match was over. She was sitting outside the ring. She was crying. And she was almost an after... She wasn't almost. She was an afterthought. It was all about Sasha and Charlotte. Becky has been good enough where she deserves to not be forgotten. She deserves to not be left out of this whole thing. So what I can see is maybe a fast lane. You do Charlotte and Sasha. Charlotte keeps the title, whatever disputed finish or cheats. And it builds to a three-way at WrestleMania.
All right.
You work Becky in there. I would be okay with that if they wanted to have Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha for the championship at WrestleMania. Becky deserves to be in that spot. She should not be cast aside, one, you know, kind of one-and-done type of thing.
But then again, she lost 3 times.
Well, this was, yeah, this was not the first match between them, but still, she's been so good. She's one of the best they have.
Not good enough.
That's cruel.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's really sad.
Per the rules and regulations of
WWE. Anyway, that's what I think is going to probably end up happening, and I hope it does. You could do Charlotte and Sasha at Fastlane, build to a three-way at Mania, get them all involved. That's where I think they're going with
three is your cap, though. You don't want to add a Paige or anybody?
No. I think it's the horsewomen. The horsewomen should be in there. Three out of the four of them.
Anyway. Well, I was going to say, whereas the fourth is...
The fourth will be up soon enough.
All right.
It's too late. To just shoehorn her in there now would not be cool.
Okay.
And plus, I would hate for Bayley to be promoted before we have a chance to see Bayley and Asuka, which they seem to be teasing at the tapings the other night.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll see if they deliver on that. So then we have the Royal Rumble match. What was it? All versus one? That was the theme for the Rumble?
Yeah.
Right. What Bray Wyatt used to say. Anyone but you, Roman. I think the fans agreed. Anyone but you, Roman. The first shot of Roman in the video to open the paper.
Oh, yeah.
He was booed.
Yeah, I was
out of the building.
I thought for sure, you know, that maybe we had gotten past that, but clearly not. Or maybe, you know, we definitely had the smarter fans in the building. Combination of the two. Well, you don't like that.
No, I agree.
Okay.
I think it's a combination of all those things. And we knew very early on that it was going to be a long night for Roman Reigns.
Right.
So he comes out. He actually came down right next to our section. Mm-hmm. Comes through the crowd. Booed mercilessly. I mean, I got a lot of questions, and we'll try to answer them here. You know, I couldn't tell on TV. How was the reaction for Roman? How was the reaction for AJ? And we'll talk about that as we go along here. Roman was number one. Of course, Rusev was number two. So the two men who ended last year's Royal Rumble opened this year's Royal Rumble.
It's almost like they planned it like that.
Almost, right? This was not quite 2007-2008 where Shawn and The Undertaker ended and then they opened the following year.
Right.
This was not quite that
special. Or back in like 90, was it 90 or 91 when Ted DiBiase came out and then Howard Finkel goes, last year, the man who drew number 30, this year, the man who drew number one,
right.
DiBiase.
Right. And actually in 92, he drew number two, mm-hmm. I believe. I should know this.
1992.
I got so many tweets. Thank you very much for that.
Keep on tweeting the Salam Monster.
Don't
19-92.
I will block you.
19.
You
You're not blocking 19. Oh, you would block people that tweet 1992.
You know what? I won't. I'll just mute them so they won't
even know. That's so cruel.
That's even more harsh, actually.
How dare you?
So Rusev didn't last long. Number three was the phenomenal AJ Styles.
The music, everything seemed to work. You know, what's interesting? Did you watch it on the WWE Network? Have you seen it?
Have I seen it?
Yeah.
I have not yet watched it back, no.
They didn't show the screen. All they showed was Roman's reaction when AJ was coming out. Now, just to paint the picture for what we saw in the arena, of course, we're looking at the screen. We're not looking at Roman. So it's the screen goes black, and then it says, I'm phenomenal. And then it turns into the AJ Styles. And it was a slow build to that. You can see it, you know, later on when they show the wide shot. But that's all eyes were on that. And then he comes out, and wow.
For the people who were curious, he got a very loud reaction.
Was that the best reaction of the night? I think it was.
Easily.
Right?
Easily.
Yeah.
He was the most over guy in the Rumble match.
Right. Sure.
So the biggest reaction, the one people wanted to win.
Right.
People received him as a genuine star. Now, again, whether that means it was mostly a smart crowd or whatever you want to call it, I think part of it was the fact that AJ performed for TNA. TNA is Orlando based.
Sure.
He wrestled plenty of matches for them over the years. Oh, we should mention.
In Florida.
Well, we should mention that. This is so great. So when the show is over, I go on WWE.com, and they have a story up, ready to go, on AJ Styles. Here's everything you need to know about AJ Styles, and they give you about his background.
Right.
And they talk about where he's been, and the people he's wrestled, and this is how they phrase it. So, of course, they don't mention TNA. And the inconsistency here, I don't understand, because I was telling Noah, I watched that new Legends with JBL show on the network where he interviewed Road Dogg. And they actually mentioned TNA. And on Sting's DVD, Sting talks about TNA. So it's not like you're banned from mentioning TNA. But in this article, they go out of their way to not mention TNA. And they say, you know, AJ Styles has wrestled everywhere in the world. He's wrestled in Florida. He's wrestled Sting and Samoa Joe in Florida. But they do mention New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Right.
and the IWGP title and all that kind of stuff. So I thought that was hilarious.
They should have said, it would be funny if he's wrestled at Universal Studios.
He's wrestled at Universal Studios, just in Orlando as an attraction. You pay to see him.
It's in the middle of the
It's in the middle of the Harry Potter world or whatever the fuck it's called or whatever it is.
Oh, shush.
I'm not a Harry Potter fan.
You will be after we go. We're going to Universal. I'm taking Solid Monster to Universal after this. He's going to enjoy it.
I'm being kidnapped. I haven't been to Universal since 1997. Yeah. You want to know, real quick aside.
Go ahead.
The one and only time I was ever at Universal Studios was the one and only time I've ever been to Disney World.
Right.
Which was in 1997. Mm-hmm. It was for my birthday. It was a family trip.
Right.
And I was very upset because at the time, you were saying before, FOMO, what were you talking about?
Fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out. When I was younger.
What wrestling event did you miss?
When I was younger, I had a fear of missing out. And this is how bad it was.
Here we go.
Where I talked to my mother one day about this. And she said, at one point, you know, your father and I considered like calling like a professional to like take you to therapy. I'm like, well, what do you mean? She goes, the pay-per-views would start.
I knew it.
And if the cable company, if there was some problem.
Oh, yeah.
And it was 8:01.
Oh.
And the feed wasn't on, I would go nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I would go just lose my shit.
Of course.
I would get so angry.
Oh, yeah.
Start screaming, call the cable. Like, I would lose it.
Oh, I've been there, too. Okay. But you remember Viewer's Choice? I don't know if you had Viewer's Choice.
We had, yes.
But there was that checkbox, and it said Viewer's Choice, and it had this the worst, like, yes. Waiting music ever. It was like, yes. Bam, bam.
Well, and I like some of the music,
well,
actually.
Well, let me tell you something, though. But you don't like it at 8:01.
No, I don't. Or 8:02 or 8:03.
Oh, my God.
But then it would come on at 8:05, and like a switch would flip, and I would be fine.
Right.
So anyway, the point is, I'm away the same weekend of the Bad Blood pay-per-view.
I knew it.
And that, of course, was the first Hell in a Cell match with Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. But that was also the night that Brian Pillman died.
Oh.
And so at the time, like wrestling hotlines were the thing. Some people had wrestling hotlines. I had a wrestling hotline, but it was actually for my little fantasy wrestling league that I was running. I knew somebody who said, hey, you want a hotline? I'm like, sure.
Right.
So I had a hotline number that I would call while I was away for wrestling updates.
Right.
And I called, and all I knew was Brian Pillman is dead. So I'm like, what?
So you're, hold on. So let me paint this picture.
Sure.
So you're a little itty-bitty Solid Monster.
Oh, not itty-bitty.
You're a little itty-bitty Solid Monster.
Teenage Solid Monster.
All right, teenage Solid Monster. You're wearing your mouse ears. You're at Magic Kingdom on a payphone. Calling Coach Kurt's wrestling
on the hotel phone.
Calling Coach Kurt's
wrestling. There were no cell phones.
Time. Right, I know.
In our house.
So you're on a Mickey payphone. It probably has the.
They did have cell phones, but they were like the giant
the brick phone.
And I didn't have
the
one.
Zach
myself.
Morris brick phone.
Exactly.
So you're on the. You have you with your Mickey hat, looking deflated, hearing Brian Pillman is no longer with us, while we have fireworks going off on the Magic Kingdom behind you.
Yes.
It's a small
and
world
like,
after all.
And I'm like, what's going on? I feel so out of the loop. I don't know what's going on. And I'm trying to, I hated spoilers. I didn't want to even accidentally hear, you know, a match outcome or anything.
Right.
So I just remember being at dinner that night, and we're out for my birthday. And I'm just.
Saddest birthday ever.
I have like a sour puss on my face. I want to be anywhere but there.
You're a mess.
So it was not the most pleasant weekend, but I remember doing T2.
Right.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Do they still have that
there? They do.
Okay.
But
all right, Back to the Future and all that?
They don't have Back to the Future. They replace
don't.
It with The Simpsons. A much better upgrade.
Really?
You know what? That the ride Back to the Future is a wonderful movie. I know you love them very much.
Well, they made such a big deal about it the anniversary last year.
They did. The ride was needed refreshing.
Okay.
So right. it was an appropriate switch. T2 still there.
Cool.
All
right, we'll check it out.
You know, it's one of those things where when you go back these many years later, that might not be as great as you had remembered.
All I remember is sitting in these seats that would move around,
right.
And they would spray you with water.
Right.
I remember that.
That's a spoiler.
Well, but I remember that.
Right. You don't know where that water's been either.
I don't. Could be the tears of young children for
no,
all I
that's
know.
That's true.
So AJ...
Crying about Brian Pillman on a payphone.
It was awful. I was so pissed off that weekend.
Can we Photoshop that?
Of all the weekends.
Can someone Photoshop Solid Monster with Mickey ears on a payphone? We have homework for everybody out there.
It's terrible. And somebody will do it, too. Don't encourage them.
Solid Monster with Mickey ears on a payphone with the Magic Kingdom and fireworks.
Well, somebody already edited that video together of me... turning my back at the Rumble finish, spliced in with some Simpsons clip.
Right, where Bart's like, this is where you can see he
his
breaks
heart
his heart.
This
right.
is the moment a heart breaks. So AJ looked, he looked phenomenal.
Looked great.
He looked great. He was not, contrary to what we said in our Rumble parody, he was not promptly eliminated. They actually kept him in there for, I don't know how long, he probably was in there every bit of 15, 20 minutes.
They had a good run.
He had a good run.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and it was very smart what they did. They had Kevin Owens eliminate him.
Right.
And that was just brilliant.
Right.
If it was anybody but him, the boos, which, and they did boo, actually. It was, people were very unhappy when AJ was eliminated. But because it was Kevin Owens, I think they like Kevin Owens, and so they accepted it. And I think if it was Roman Reigns, or if it was Big Show, or Kane, it would have been very, very different.
But even if they didn't, they can put a lot of heat on Kevin. They want him to be a heel anyway.
Well, that's why they did it.
So that works.
And then Kevin, I laugh when he mocked, AJ does this thing where he kind of throws his arms out open, and Owens mocked him. He's just fantastic. But what I think it also may do, it could very well set up a Kevin Owens match with AJ Styles for WrestleMania. Now, Sami Zayn was in the Royal Rumble. He came out at number 20. I had number 20 in the Rumble pool. I was pulling for Sammy. Didn't quite work out for him. And by the way, on the Rumble pool, I'll talk more about it on next weekend's show, because Zach is going to do the final pool. We'll have a winner, and I'll be sending that person a sound-off shirt. To everybody who won in their respective pool, congratulations. I'm not going to rattle off 25 names. There were so many pools.
You know who you are.
You all know who you are. And we'll decide an ultimate winner.
Sammy did not break his shoulder.
Or he did not
tear his shoulder.
He did not wildly throw his arms around and re-tear his shoulder. That is your favorite part of that intro. Is it? You're a sick man.
You're a sick puppy. Thanks for everyone's kind words on that.
That intro was great. Nothing but positive feedback to that intro. I mean, it was a lot of work. A lot of planning went into that. Probably our finest work yet. You know, I was a big fan of McMahon's Pastry Palace, and I still am. A lot of people like that.
That's
intro.
A legendary.
I think
one.
We may have topped it. We may have topped ourselves.
Well, you and I went on the phone, and I was like, "We got to do some sort."
We were on the phone. Let me tell you the planning that went into this, which really wasn't much.
Right.
We were on the phone. I don't remember about what a month ago.
Right.
And we were talking about the trip because we knew we were going to be seeing each other here in Orlando in a month.
Right.
And it just came up.
We're like, we got to do some sort of fun intro. And you're like, well, why don't we do the McMahon thing?
Yeah, my love, of course, of the 92 Rumble. It was a natural thing. And we started planning some of the things on the list. I would say we didn't even get halfway through the list. We said, we have a month. We're going to come up with it, right? I mean, what ended up happening?
It always goes to the last minute.
I text Noah and I go, man, you know, I'd love to hear a rough cut of that intro. He's like, well, you know, you've got to get me the full list. And I'm like, probably a good idea. And I quickly, like in a day, just finished the rest of the list, and then you worked your magic, and I think it turned out pretty well.
Yeah, we were giggling like schoolgirls on the phone, like coming up with the different scenarios of how Mr. McMahon could screw up the Royal Rumble. It was,
yeah, we could have come up with 60 different ones. We had to narrow it down to 30.
Even the cutting room floor ones were pretty funny.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The ones that they'll never hear about.
No, exactly.
But Sami Zayn came out at number 20. Great reaction from the crowd. People knew who he was, and Kevin Owens was in the ring waiting for him.
And he was given the classic pissed off Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
you know, like Cody on Goldust, and or wasn't it? Who didn't Bret Hart have some?
It's
one of
happened
those
a lot. No, it's happened.
Stone Cold
it's happened a lot over the years. Of course, Jake the Snake ducked out of the ring when Macho Man came out that one year. But these two guys, hey, you know, Kevin Owens said it once upon a time. He made the comment, "We're destined to do this forever."
Right.
You know, it started in Canada when they were two pimply faced kids just starting in the business, and then of course Ring of Honor and NXT, and here they are now doing it in the Royal Rumble.
They didn't wrestle in Florida, did they?
They did not wrestle in Florida. Yeah, I love that. That's amazing. So they come in. Of course, I was happy as a pig in shit seeing that. Months ago, I said, this is how it has to be. Now, I envision Kevin Owens still being the Intercontinental Champion at the time. He is not. But I was extremely happy. And I thought this was so cool. This was the right thing to do. But to go back to AJ Styles, I think there's a better chance that we get AJ and Owens at WrestleMania, because I'm not convinced that Sammy being in this Rumble, in fact, I'm almost positive that this was a one-off. I don't expect to see Sami Zayn on Raw tonight. Maybe he'll be on the show. But I'm guessing he's going to be challenging for the NXT title WrestleMania weekend in Dallas, and I don't know that they would have him full-time on both shows concurrently. So because of that, I think this was a one-off. They'll revisit the feud at some point. And I think instead of Sammy and Owens, which I would be fine with, I think there's a better shot that we get AJ and Owens, which would be a hell of a match at WrestleMania. But for AJ, you can come up with a few different opponents. You could do AJ and Chris Jericho, right? What if AJ turns out to be a heel or goes heel? I wouldn't do that because I think he's got a lot of momentum as a babyface right now. But you've got Owens, and if Jericho turns heel, I think he's probably better off that way. There's a few different things you could do with AJ Styles. Who do you see as being the ideal opponent for him in his first WrestleMania?
Well,
match?
Listen, I never watched Florida wrestling.
And you are right. Noah was never a fan of Eddie Graham, the great Eddie Graham, or the great John Gaborik, and their version of Florida wrestling.
Right.
But go ahead.
So
Vince Russo.
Right.
Bro.
But, you know,
let me tell you something, bro.
I like the idea of Kevin Owens versus AJ because it's not a done deal that AJ would go over. If AJ's going against Chris Jericho, unless Jericho's still upset over Fandango from a few years back.
No, I could see Jericho actually having knowledge of this and discussing this and saying, hey, that's one of the reasons I want to come back. I want to work a match at WrestleMania with AJ Styles.
I get it, but don't you want to? It's predictable. It's predictable that Jericho.
But that's a good example of using a guy like Jericho to put over a newer guy who needs it.
Okay.
And I think, look, I mean, I don't. It doesn't. It almost doesn't even matter if you do Owens and AJ. Whoever wins, right? These are two.
Right.
I still look at Owens as a fresh face in the company, and I'm fine with either one winning.
Right.
I think it would be a hell of a match.
Right.
But again, if you go the Jericho route and Jericho starts healing it up more. Jericho losing to AJ Styles would be the right thing to do. It would be the right thing for business, and it would be a big enough name for AJ to be in the ring with a WrestleMania where a win, I think, would mean something.
Are you ready for Apple Juice chants from Jericho?
Apple Juice?
He's going to call AJ Apple Juice. Rudy Tooty Booty Apple Juice.
Don't get me started on that.
Apple Juicy.
I was happy to not have any Rudy Tooty Booty.
There were signs.
There were signs. I was tempted to go over to those people, but I restrained myself.
Actually, somebody passed by Salamonster doing the Rudy Tooty Booty, and you grumbled like, that's what's wrong with the
world. Well, he was drunk. He was inebriated. And this was during the pre-show, by the way. We've had some experience with different people who have been inebriated this weekend. But in any event, so AJ Styles, I think it was a home run, I think. I never expected him to win.
Right.
So I wasn't disappointed when the Rumble was over because it wasn't AJ Styles as the winner. I didn't think that really had any chance of happening at all.
Yeah.
But not a bad debut, and it's in a match for the WWE Championship. It's a hell of a debut.
Yeah. You can't go any worse than that.
The Wyatt family, each one of the members were in this match. We didn't get each member of New Day. Kofi was the only member of New Day, I think, that was in the Rumble. The only member of the Social Outcasts that was in was Curtis Axel, who says he was never eliminated last year. So I assume that's why he was the one to be in this year. But the entire Wyatt family was in the Rumble, and the one guy who shined, and they really made him look like a force to be reckoned with, wasn't Bray, it was Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman eliminated, we think, Mark Henry. He eliminated both Kane and Big Show. And at that point, I even tweeted, I said, well, clearly they're positioning Strowman for a match at WrestleMania with either Undertaker or Brock Lesnar. And then Brock came out and, you know, did some stuff with the Wyatts. I think one of the biggest disappointments for me in the Rumble was how Brock was used. Brock should have gone further. He should have gone deeper. Maybe should have been even in the final group of guys there. It just came off, and I think it just goes back to the booking of the Wyatts and how weak for so long they've been booked, and the way that they were kind of just discarded by Kane and Undertaker a few months ago, that all of a sudden last week on Raw, they're ending the show and we're supposed to think they're a force to be reckoned with. It's hard to buy into that. And here's Brock Lesnar, one of the biggest stars in the entire company. And, you know, this was one of the ideas that I said I could see happening, and it happened. They ganged up on him, even though he dumped, I think, all of them but Bray. Brock eliminated. They came back in. And they helped Bray toss Brock from the Rumble. Brock was a non-factor in this match. How do you take a guy like Brock Lesnar, put him in the Royal Rumble, and make him a non-factor like that?
Well, I mean, I guess they want to keep him far out of the title. Obviously, it looks like they want to keep him far out of the title picture.
Yeah, and it's hard when I think of things, okay, what do you do then with Brock at WrestleMania if you don't do something with him and Bray, which I figure is going to be the match? Maybe they save Strowman for Undertaker, because I don't see a match for Undertaker unless John Cena comes back early. And Undertaker would be a safe opponent for him. And this is John Cena we're talking about here.
This was your theory last night, and I was like...
I'm going to say it right now. Do not count John Cena out of WrestleMania.
You're just...
Don't do it. It's a dangerous thing if you do, because I could see him being on the card. I could see him being well enough and wanting to be on that show, it could happen. I'm just saying. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Now, if not, I don't see another likely match for The Undertaker unless it's against someone like a Braun Strowman. And that's a match I just do not want to see. Braun Strowman is not the worst wrestler I've ever seen. People say, oh, he's the worst. He's not the worst. Okay, we lived through Kali and the Giant Gonzalez. We lived through a lot of bad wrestlers. He is not the worst. He's taken to this, you know, fairly well, but he's not good either. And so I don't buy him being in a high-profile singles match of WrestleMania with either one of those guys if that's the direction they're going in. But on this night, they treated him like a monster. I just was not happy with how Brock was used in this match.
If Braun Strowman...
But I don't see another obvious match for Lesnar if you're not going to do Lesnar and Roman Reigns. So I guess in a way it makes sense. I'm not happy about it. I just don't see what that other Brock match would be.
Could we see Braun Strowman against Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker?
No, no.
Or in a triple Undertaker, threat match?
No, Undertaker and Brock. They build the match. The last time you're ever going to see them in the ring together.
Well, against
Brock,
each other.
Brock and... Oh.
No?
That would be about as good as The Undertaker against A-Train and... who was the other guy that he wrestled? The handicap match at WrestleMania 19. That was a waste of The Undertaker.
He didn't even come out. It wasn't Daniel Pruder, was it?
No, it was supposed to be Nathan Jones.
Nathan Jones.
And he was also so god-awful that they recognized that and said, we're not going to put him out there. He did like a run-in at the end, I think. He was so bad, they actually took him out of the match. But anyway, so yeah, one of the bigger disappointments other than the finish, to me, in this Rumble was how Brock Lesnar was used. Not happy about that. We had Triple H coming out at number 30. Now, we should backtrack and talk about what they did with Roman before we talk about Triple H. Roman was number one. He was taken out of the Rumble very early.
Yeah.
This was like 1999 all over again when the corporation took out Steve Austin. He was gone for most of the match.
Right.
You had a lot of people who did not like Roman Reigns to begin with, and so that's just something that was unavoidable. But I think to keep him in there, doing the Iron Man performance for 50 minutes or 60 minutes or whatever it was, would have been better than what they ended up doing with him. So they put him through a table, the League of Nations, they put him through a table, and they were going to stretcher him out, and he refused, I guess, to be stretchered out, so they helped him to the back. This was very early in the match. We didn't see Roman again until the very end. So when Roman comes back out, and there's like one or two people left to be called, I'm shaking. You could probably see me on TV. I'm shaking my head. Literally see me on TV shaking my head. Because I knew immediately what kind of reaction this guy was going to get.
Right.
And the boos started instantaneously when he came back out. Here's this guy who a lot of people don't like to begin with. He's number one. You keep him out the entire match. He's taking a piss break and having a drink backstage, waiting for his cue to come back out at the end. And people are looking at this going, this fucking guy. First of all, they thought he was going to win. And he didn't win. But even still, a blind man could see what kind of reaction that was going to get. He was booed unmercilessly by people when he came back out. And you can't tell me that's the reaction they wanted.
Well, I don't think that's what they thought was going to happen.
Who thought? Well, why not? I knew that. I'm no smarter than any of them. They should know that too.
I didn't know that. For this particular one.
You're an idiot.
Oh, thanks. And I'm telling you, I wasn't... here's the thing. With a smart audience, that's a foregone conclusion. But maybe they felt that this one would be a little bit of a softer crowd.
They were going with the old school mentality of the valiant babyface comes back out, maybe against doctor's orders. That doesn't work anymore unless you have somebody that the people genuinely like. If that was Daniel Bryan, okay? If that was Daniel Bryan, look at WrestleMania 30. He wrestled Triple H. Triple H hurt his arm. Is Daniel Bryan going to be able to come back out and wrestle in the main event? He did, and people bought into it. If it was somebody like that in this match who left and came back, he's not going to get booed. But you know that you have a large contingent of fans that do not like this guy. You want this guy to succeed. You want them to like him. This is what you do? You actually thought him coming back out after being out of the match, virtually the entire match, that people were going to be cheering for him and want to see him win? I don't see how that could have been going through their mind. So, of course, he came out, he got booed, and we had Triple H come out at number 30. And Triple H got a monstrous babyface conquering hero, returning hero reaction when he came out.
He loves that.
I'm sure he does. He eats that shit up. I took a great picture of a person sitting a couple rows behind us with a giant sign that said, "Enter the shovel."
That's right.
And of course, I had my Triple H. Now, this was a bad omen. So before the show started, a random fan walks by down below.
That's right.
And he hands me a Triple H action figure.
Right.
I don't know where this action figure has been.
No.
It's a little sticky. I was a little worried about that. But I'm hoping it's from the beer.
Right.
I hope. So I have little mini H in my hand, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, this is a bad omen. At that moment, I knew. So I was not surprised when Triple H came out. In fact, I think that was one of the ideas I even pitched or floated or whatever. Somebody wrote in with a mailbag question. I think I added to their idea that Roman should enter at number one by saying, well, then Triple H should be number 30. And he was. And it made sense to do that. That's not my gripe here. My gripe is in the outcome of the match. Now I'm gonna say a few positive things. I was surprised when Roman got dumped out. And Roman getting dumped out as the big babyface was like, and I'm going to bring it up, 1992. When Hulk Hogan, the big babyface, got dumped out of the ring, and before WWE could edit the footage, which they later air, they piped in boos when that happened.
Right. Even though the crowd is jumping up and down.
The crowd was
with their hands up.
Just like here, big babyface gets dumped out, and the crowd loved it. They hated Hogan that night. Although when Hogan came out, he got a huge reaction.
Right.
Because wrestling fans don't know what the fuck they want. Whether it's 1992 or 2016.
Right.
So Roman getting dumped was a genuinely shocking moment. And everybody lost their shit when that happened. Because that meant we're getting a new champion.
Yeah.
And it came down to Triple H and Dean Ambrose.
Sure.
And I thought this was so cool. Because you had a babyface that people wanted to see win.
Right.
They wanted so badly for Dean Ambrose. Every bit as much as they wanted Becky Lynch to win that Divas title, they wanted Dean Ambrose to win that championship. And I knew he wasn't. I mean, Brian Blade sitting next to me, and I'm like, dude, he's the Intercontinental Champion. He ain't winning the WWE title. You hold out hope a little bit, but deep down you know he's not winning. But I just thought the setup for it, and the place was rocking, they're going nuts. I love that. That may be one of the best Rumble finishes we've had in years and years and years.
And Triple H had some good false eliminations.
Hanging on by a thread and, you know, when he's thrown out over the top rope. But of course, in the end, Triple H did win his second Royal Rumble. First Royal Rumble win for him since 2002.
Right.
That young up-and-comer Triple H, the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion for the 14th time.
Did you see the meme?
Which meme?
The meme
there's many memes out there.
The meme of NXT Triple H.
Yes, I did see that. Congratulating Wrestler H backstage, like he does on all the takeover shows.
There's originally a meme of, you know, I don't know who it was, but it was like Triple H and an NXT superstar. So you got Triple H in a suit.
Yes.
Next to an NXT superstar in their wrestling gear.
Did Triple
gear.
H have his culotta in his hand that he always has in those pictures?
Been. So they superimposed Wrestler H next to NXT Corporate H.
NXT Corporate H.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome back to 1999. I was confused. I couldn't tell if it was 1999, 2002, 2007, 2008. You know, Triple H has had quite a few runs during his career.
Oh, and the celebration goes with the sign pointing and the pyro and Stephanie and Mr. McMahon out there.
It was like WrestleMania 2000 all over again when they beat The Rock and the McMahon family is out there celebrating. That, to me, is what really got me. And I think on the one hand, I have sympathy for them because I know they were ravaged by injuries. And they don't have Rollins, and they don't have Cena, and they don't have Sting, and they don't have a lot of these different guys. I get that. I understand that, and I have a little bit of sympathy for them for that. But I think the fact that even with the injuries, and it goes to a larger problem I've gone on and on about before, they've done such a poor job of setting up a few other guys that you could truly not just buy into, but plug into that spot if you had to. They could with Ambrose, but they opted not to. So they have Roman, and that's it. What they'll end up doing with AJ Styles, how high, what's his ceiling? I don't know. Because he is a Florida guy, and so, you know, he had a great night, but how far are they really willing to go with him? We'll see. It's going to take some time, but we'll see. But it's all about Roman. It's the Roman Rumble, right? This is the era of Reigns. And so there were very few outcomes that made sense here. So being able to sleep on it and looking back on it, I can begrudgingly sit here and say that the way it was set up, the only outcome that made sense at that point was having Triple H win. But it's only because, number one, what they did with Roman. I thought Roman was winning, and I think he probably should have won. I know people aren't going to want to hear that, but just deal with it because he should have won. But not the way they set it up. Keeping him out the entire fucking match, sending him back out there, it was death.
He's not going the distance. He's at that point, taking a powder.
At that point, I didn't want Roman Reigns to win.
Right.
When they sent him back out. I said, this guy can't win this match. And if he would have, you would have had people revolting. And it would have been 2014 and 2015 all over again.
Right.
So once they did that, you can no longer have him win. So now who can win? You have Dean Ambrose out there. Well, why didn't they take the title of Ambrose and put it back on Owens? If they did that, all of a sudden, I think people genuinely could buy into the fact that, holy shit, Dean Ambrose lost the IC title earlier. Maybe it's because they're going to put the WWE title on him. And people are always asking for new and fresh and a shocking, unpredictable ending. Dean Ambrose winning the Royal Rumble would have been pretty unpredictable, no?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, but they didn't take the title off of him.
I didn't feel that he had no chance when it was him versus Triple H. I know you're like, well, it's a foregone conclusion.
Look, there's always a chance. They could. You had Roman Reigns out there. Why didn't Roman Reigns jump up on the apron and help Dean Ambrose dump Triple H out of the ring?
That's what people were saying I saw on the internet. That why didn't he succumb in Superman? He's the worst friend ever.
Right. Why not screw over the authority and help his best friend out? It's a win-win situation.
Right.
I guess he's a bit of a dick. It's the only conclusion I can come to. He's learning from John Cena.
Don't help your friends.
John Cena don't. Well, yeah. John Cena never was very kind to his friends. That's Zack Ryder.
Yes,
he's like the prime example of that, right?
Poster child for John Cena's friends not getting help.
Exactly. But there was no harm in putting the Intercontinental belt back on Kevin Owens, whether Owens feuds with AJ Styles or Sami Zayn. You know, he can defend the title against them at WrestleMania. You've now freed up Dean Ambrose for this finish here. And for me, at least, it would have made it a little more believable that maybe this guy has a shot. But because they didn't do that, I personally never really bought into him having that much of a shot. And so that's why I sit here now and I say to you, well, if Roman can't win at that point, and Ambrose probably isn't going to win at that point, and AJ was never going to win it, there is only one outcome that made sense. And Brock's, obviously, they want Brock out of the title picture. So yeah, it made sense for Triple H to win. That doesn't mean I have to be happy about it. The idea that Triple H is the fucking champion here in 2016, and not just that he's the champion, but that unless they pull a swerve on us and maybe he drops it to Roman at Fastlane, I don't think that's happening. So now we have Roman Reigns and Triple H for WrestleMania. Is there any doubt how that match is going to end? And I know people are going to say, well, Solomonster, you have said before that predictable doesn't mean bad. No, it doesn't. Predictable doesn't mean bad. But in this case, there were other options available to you that could have at least planted the seed of doubt. Like, I don't know who's going to win this match at WrestleMania. Now there is no doubt. You've removed, in my opinion, you've removed that doubt from that match. And part of it also is, I just don't want to see Triple H in the main event of WrestleMania. I just don't.
Well, deal with it.
I really don't.
Because you will.
And I'm a fan of The Rock. And I was very vocally critical of that match, the second match especially, that we were at. In New Jersey, yeah, WrestleMania 29.
That was not good.
That match sucked.
Yeah.
Having The Rock in the main event with John Cena, that match sucked. I'm sorry. So, it's having these guys in the main event, I'm not a fan of that. I'm just not. There's only one guy I think I would accept having in that main event spot at WrestleMania this year. And he ain't wrestling. So, that's my take on this. I accept it. It does makes sense. They're telling this story. Doesn't mean I have to be happy about it. But I can sit here and tell you that, having been there and watched the whole thing, I think this was the best Royal Rumble match probably since 07 or 08. You had you know, a few surprises in there with AJ and Sami Zayn, and
right.
The crowd reacted well to them and the whole Zayn Owens thing, and AJ had time, and I love that dynamic of having Triple H and Ambrose in there at the finish.
It was good. Now, do you think for Fastlane, I just thought of an idea. Fatal 4-Way with the Final Four as a rematch.
Who were the Final Four? It was Triple H, Ambrose, Jericho?
No. I think Sheamus.
Oh, Sheamus.
Sheamus made it out.
No. Then no. I don't want to say
no?
that. No.
Okay.
No.
I won't book it.
Please don't.
I mean, what are you going to do at Fastlane? Because Roman does get a rematch, right?
They could do whatever they want. They make the rules. They change the rules. But yeah, I mean, the champion, when he loses the title, gets their automatic rematch. He may want to cash in on it tonight.
Ah?
They could do Triple H. They could tease Triple H and Roman tonight. And maybe the match never starts, but it counts as a match, and Triple H pins him. Look, who knows what they're going to do?
Right.
He's going to get the rematch. He's going to get the belt back. He'll be a three-time champion in a five-month span or whatever it is.
And you know what?
It is 1999 all over again.
I mean, it seems like, and I was telling you this to you off the air, it seems like it's always 95% to 5%, like the baby face getting over on the authority. It's like the authority always seems to have a stronghold on everything. And it's not a question of anyone really conquering the authority. You look at John Cena, who got them, you know, away forever for a month or two. And it just always seems to be this, it's always like you get one or two wins over them. You know, like Roman beats the crap out of Triple H. He got that one little time.
You'll win a battle, but they always win the war.
They always win the war.
They always win the war. And the one thing I will say is if we out of this whole thing, if we can get rid of the authority, then maybe it'll be worth it. Because this storyline is so far beyond stale.
Since 2013, right?
2013. This goes back to the late 90s.
Well,
with this
ultimately
authority figure bullshit that I have fucking ranted about before time after time. It's like they don't know how to do anything else. I understand building up drama, the good guy and the bad guy. But how many fucking times can you have the evil authority figure who, for some reason, talk about best for business, Austin, Roman, Cena. They always seem to want to screw over their big money maker, their big star. Get them fired. You lose tonight, you're fired. Roman Reigns, you lose tonight, you're fired. What business in the world would take their best employee and want to fire them? It doesn't make sense.
That's right.
So what they've done is over the years, they've had the same storyline. Fuck 2013. This has been going on for over a decade. And it's just plug and play. You plug in different names, you plug in different faces, but the storyline remains the same.
Right.
I'm sick and tired of it. Okay. I'm tired of it. So if we can finally be gone with the authority after WrestleMania, fine. Great. Does anybody honestly believe that this is the end of the authority? No, of course not. Of course not.
Yeah, remember Raw just didn't, at some points, Raw didn't even have an authority. Matches would just occur. Superstars would come out
and
just...
You would have issues between... Wrestlers,
right?
What a concept!
Right,
what a concept that is.
You would have You'd have a Dean Ambrose call someone out.
You've got a babyface general manager on NXT right now,
right?
In William Regal, probably the best authority figure of any kind in all of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
What carries NXT? It's really two things that carry NXT: the stories and the matches.
Right.
It's issues between the wrestlers. It's an issue between it's Sami Zayn coming back from injury and having to start back at the bottom and work his way back up to that and become the first ever two-time NXT champion, right? It's Sasha and Bayley and that whole story. Bayley failed and failed and failed, and finally she won the big one. It built and it built and it built. It was a match of the year last year. NXT succeeds on the stories and the ability of the talent themselves. The takeover shows, there has yet to be a bad takeover show. Great matches, great stories, Joe and Finn teaming up, Joe wanting a title shot. It ends up, you know, he does the big turn. Now he's one of the best heels in the entire company. And all through it all, you have had William Regal, who barely even shows up on TV. But when he does, you know, shit's going to go down. Like Jack Tunney back in the day. Holy shit, Jack Tunney's on my TV. Something's going down. You don't need to always have the evil heel authority figure. And maybe if you get away from that for 5 years, it'll feel fresh again when you go back to it again. But I am sick to fucking death of the authority. And that's my biggest problem with this. I'm just tired of it. And everything is centered around that one storyline. It's not just Roman. The whole company. Everyone turns into a giant pussy when they
smirking
are,
and
when
smiling.
They are confronted by Triple H and Stephanie. And Stephanie's a whole other thing. As great of a heel as she is, nobody could ever get their revenge on her.
Right.
Nobody could put their hands on her. And if Jericho makes a great wisecrack about her, she'll come back and make an even better one. And he'll stand there, okay, He'll have a dumb look on his face, and they'll move on to the next segment. It's got to end. It just has to end. So, anyway.
How do you really feel?
I don't know how I really feel. So that's the...
This is your positive review on the Royal Rumble.
This is my glowingly positive review of the Royal Rumble. No, we all had fun. Look, you come to an event like this with a bunch of friends, it's hard not to have fun. This Rumble was light years ahead of the last 2 years. And I know that's setting the bar low because the last 2 years have sucked. Easily the best Rumble in the last 3 years. But like I said, I'll go as far back as 07 or 08. I thought that this Rumble was pretty darn good. And cool. I think you would agree.
Yeah, we had fun.
Good. One last quick story here. We were out last night. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and we bumped into someone. We bumped into...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Someone who's been in the news. In fact, on the show that we did in studio on Friday. On Friday?
Saturday.
That's right.
Saturday.
We talked about this during the sad tweet segment. We bumped into Tough Enough Josh outside of a food truck. At 2 o'clock in the morning.
Seemingly by himself.
By himself. He's a big dude.
Oh, yes.
You can tell what they see in him.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So I didn't give him that friendly advice that I did on the show. I didn't think it was appropriate, and I wanted to live.
You didn't want to get your ass kicked.
I didn't want to. I wanted to make it to Universal. And
you're like, hi, nice to meet you. Very good.
I knew all of you listening to this right now would be very upset. If I was physically unable to record the show today, and so I held my tongue. I didn't talk to him. Hogan got a picture with him. I put that up on my Twitter
page.
Mike
Hogan, not Hulk Hogan.
Right, I keep saying Hogan. People think we're hanging out with Hulk Hogan. Like, boy, Noah's a racist and you're hanging out with Hulk Hogan.
Brother, can I get a picture with you?
It all makes sense now. But no, we have a friend actually from the UK. His name is Mike Hogan. And for those of you wondering, he was the one sitting next to me. People were saying, "Who's the guy sitting next to you or standing next to you doing the jerking off thing the whole night?"
Oh, jeez.
I'm like, yeah, that's not me. That's the Hulkster.
They're a bunch of wankers.
They are a bunch of wankers. Well, the UK people know how to have fun. They could be a little over the top sometimes.
Nah, we have fun with that. We're a little loud. We had people from Ireland, the UK, Canada, and good old here in the United States.
All 20, over the world.
25 people spread throughout the arena, including a lot of us in that section where we were. It was a ball. Like I said to you leading up to this, I said, look, we can have a great time at the Royal Rumble, or we can shit all over it and still have a great time because we'll all be together and have fun together.
Yeah, we all had fun, and one of my regrets, I was hoping we'd have the chance to meet up with Damian Nelson and David Hero. They were hanging out last night. They were in town for the show as well. We couldn't make it work, but we'll make it work in Dallas for WrestleMania. I got to meet Damian for the first time in New Orleans. And that was very... New Orleans was so much fun. We were talking about this yesterday. We were actually in a part of the downtown area here in Orlando that it kind of reminded us a little bit of New Orleans. The street that we were on, just the whole decor and...
Church Street.
It was a lot of fun. Very cold.
Yeah, it was...
I came to Florida to get away from the cold and the snow in New York. Yeah. And the other day it was like 28. I'm like,
not here.
It was 28.
No, it was not. It was 38. Noah, it was 38.
The real feel was 28.
Oh, we don't do real feel here.
You should.
We look at the thermometer.
You look at the thermometer. I think the brain, the sun has fried your brains here in Florida.
Well, right now, I think it's 70 or it's 60s heading to the 70s. So
yeah, it's actually nice today.
You'll be fine.
Naturally, I'm leaving tomorrow and the weather improves.
That's how that works.
But I am very happy I was able to avoid the snowstorm, so I can't complain.
64. Climbing up to 73.
Very nice. I could live with that. So that's going to wrap up this little roundtable Rumble post-show edition of the Solomonster Sounds Off. I hope all of you guys have enjoyed all the audio content. We did 2.5 hours the other day. So
we did an hour today.
Is it an hour already?
Yeah.
Time just flies by. So a lot of new audio content this weekend. If you... like what you hear, keep telling people about the show. That's the easiest way to really support the show is to spread the word to friends and family. Of course, if you want to make a PayPal donation, you can always do so on thesolomonster.com. You can use our Audible trial, audibletrial.com/solomonster. Get yourself a free trial, a free audiobook. You can buy a t-shirt. I want to thank everybody who came up to me. I met a bunch of different fans at the building last night. Really cool. We met that one couple that was just nice as could be. They took pictures with us and everything. Really, we got some good people who listen to the show and help make this show go. And I want to thank Noah.
Thank you.
For all of your help, because this would not be possible without him and his audio prowess.
Oh, or, you know, it's my pleasure, Solomonster. You know I'm a big fan of you. I love to contribute when I can, and I listen every week religiously.
Yes, and so I want to thank him, Brian Blade, who, of course, joined us for the first show.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do more of these. We're going to hit the road again in a couple of months. We'll be heading to Texas.
Yeah, Dallas.
Dallas, my first trip there.
Four Horsemen, Jared.
And I'm thinking Webmaster what we may Mike. Do, it's not set in stone yet, but what I may do, I'll put a thread up on Facebook. I want to know who's going to Dallas or who already lives in Dallas, and maybe we'll try to get a formal meetup going.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, that could be fun. We can get a decent number of people out for that. So we'll have more of these to come.
We're going to have a 1992 chant at this meetup, by the way. You realize, right? We're going to get everyone to chant 1992. Why are you all salty?
I'm not salty.
You should love that. You should bask in the glory. I think you should make a 1992 t-shirt.
I think people are getting a little sick and tired of 1990. I think I may be turning them against them. You know what's going on here? It's I'm like WWE, and 1992 is like Roman.
Well, you know,
and I'm pushing it so much that I'm actually turning people against.
Well, that reminds me, because Ric Flair, you didn't even mention this. Ric Flair has done a commentary.
Yeah, you know, I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but a lot of you said to me, Solomonster, on Ric Flair's latest podcast, he actually does a running commentary on the 1992 Royal Rumble match, and I'm looking forward to listening to that. I haven't heard it yet. But I'm going to be all over that.
I'm going to sync that up with the actual video.
If you can do that, that would be cool.
I'm going to do that.
Some people usually do. Steve Austin has done a few of those. He's done a commentary, I know, on his match with Rock at WrestleMania 17 and one on a couple weeks ago on his Unforgiven match with Kurt Angle. This was like right after 9/11 when Kurt won the championship. It's very cool to hear his thoughts as you're watching the match itself. So, yeah, if you could pull that off, that would be great. Maybe we can get that up on YouTube or something.
I don't know if we can do that.
Daily Motion.
Yeah, that we probably can do.
Yeah. They're based in some foreign country, I think, right?
They don't listen to any of the laws.
Probably based in, like, Estonia or something. So that's going to do it from here. We are going to wrap this up and head on out to Universal. I am the Solomonster. He is...
Noah Mark, at DJ Noah 80.
That's right. I'm sorry. How could I forget? At DJ Noah 80 on Twitter. I am at Solomonster. And we will be back for a normal episode of the podcast next weekend. That will be, well, what is this? This is
421.
Oh, yeah, I've lost and so many shows.
You'll be back for a normal episode? Did I make this abnormal?
It's always abnormal. Whenever we all hang out, it's
okay.
Very abnormal.
Thanks.
No, I mean that in a positive way.
Okay. The power of positivity.
Power of positivity. We'll see you for 422 next weekend. Until then, be well, stay safe. And take care, folks.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Solomonster sounds off.
Hulk Hogan's WCW contract splattered all over the internet. He got a $2 million signing bonus, 25% of the ticket revenue from all Nitro and Thunder events that he appeared on. He also got $20,000 per month for as long as he was part of the NWO, 50% of the profits from any Hulk Hogan merchandise that was sold, and a minimum $675,000 for any pay-per-view he appeared on. You know what I say? I say good for him. If I could get that kind of deal for myself, if somebody wanted me that badly, they were that stupid, then great! Always ask for what you feel you're worth. Your boss should have the guts to say no. WCW wanted to blow this guy so badly, they put a towel down on the floor so they wouldn't get rug burned.
Solomonster sounds off. Since 2007, the Solomonster sounds off. Available at thesolomonster.com, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and more.
Solomonster sound off.